many of you have just celebrated the opportunity to worship Jesus today? To celebrate the opportunity to worship Jesus today. And, you know, I thank God that we're a worshiping church. And I don't know about you, but I've had to learn how to worship over the years. And I'm still learning how to worship God. And some may say, well, why is worship an important aspect of our faith? I think it starts here. You become what you worship. You become what you worship. You carry the attitudes, the attributes, the meanings, the understanding. Doc, you'll become what you worship. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ's mercy is why we're able to worship. Do y'all understand it? It's at the mercy seat of Christ that we get to come and be in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but when I am fully worshiping God, that is the only moment in my earthly life that I'm not filled, my head's not filled with the temptations of this world. That's the only moment. Now, if I'm just thinking, it can get strange. But if I'm worshiping, if I'm sinning, I say, wait a minute, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is crucified. Jesus is risen. Jesus sits on the throne. Jesus is God. Jesus is power. Jesus is life. Then guess what happens? I start getting focused. Because you know what? I want to tell you what worship is not about. And this is going to be so hard for so many. Worship is not about you. It's not about you. Everybody that comes out of church and says, I didn't get anything out of that, guess what they've just confessed? I really don't have an understanding of the Almighty God. All this jazz I've heard over years, my cup's not filled. Well, then you need to understand salvation. Your cup was filled at the foot of the cross. The power of the resurrection resides in you. Your cup being filled has nothing to do with your emotional stimulation. And in the American church, United States of America, church, we have forsook and we have misunderstood worship for many, many decades. We think it's a feeling. We think if we get stimulated, then God is there. No, it is much more than that. We are transformed by the mercy of God. We are no longer what we used to be, but now we are what God has enabled us to be through the power of His mercy. He has forgiven us of our sins. We got to start there. How many of y'all glad to know that your sins have been forgiven? And if they haven't been forgiven today, if they haven't been forgiven today, guess what? It is possible for your sin to be forgiven. Now, here's what we got to get real. There is going to be a final day. Does everybody understand that? I don't want you to be left out of Hillview. I don't want you to be shocked. And guess what? I'm not worried about a lot of you, but I'm worried about some of you. Because guess what? Grace and mercy means I follow Him. Grace and mercy is not permission to live a life casually involved with God. Watch this. There are millions of people in the nation today. Guess what they said? Oh, Lord has changed my life. He's forgiven me. And they found an excuse not to be in worship today. There's even all these theories. Well, the Lord has saved me. Listen to that. The Lord has saved me. No, it's not about you. The Lord has saved human beings. And one day, those who have been saved by the Lord will be gathered together. You know what? I bet on that day when God parts the eastern sky, when the trumpet blows, and when the Lord comes back, you know what? I bet everybody will be standing up then. I bet nobody will be concerned about the temperature. They won't be concerned about who's preaching. They won't be concerned if Keith's leading or Jacqueline's singing or whoever is in charge of the instruments. Guess what they'll be concerned about? They'll be wrapped up in the mercy of God. Now, that day's coming. Pastor Jim, I've looked forward to that day since I have gained some understanding in Jesus. On that day, every denominational headquarter will be shut down and vanquished forever and ever. Amen. Thank God. Watch this. There won't be a Church of Christ. There won't be a Methodist. There won't be a Pentecostal. There won't be a bunch of theologians having an argument. Guess what? Social justice will be absolutely no more because justice will have shown up. I feel so sorry for my colleagues. They're going to spend a career seeking justice on their own terms, and they're going to miss justification that can only be given by the mercy of God. Today, here's what I want to tell you worship is. Worship is to remind us it is by mercy that we are saved. It is by the merciful hand of God that you and I enter into Christ. You know what the Bible says? Blessed, blessed are the meek and the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. The Bible never says this. The Bible never says one good thing about the proud. It warns us over and over again against pride, against arrogance, against thinking we've accomplished the kingdom. It warns us that we are not the ones that hold all understanding, but it is God, it is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to be praised, because it is by Him, through Him, and with Him you and I are made possible before God. Did you get that? It is by Him, through Him, and with Him that you and I are made possible to stand before God. Did you realize if Jesus hadn't come, none of us could stand before God? How many of y'all want to stand before God with your understanding of good works? Lord, have mercy. Church is a burden for a lot of people. Can you imagine if they had to really stand for faith? But there's going to be a day we're going to stand up. It's starting to happen now. It's starting to happen now. We're at the very front end of it. We're at the very front end. I like it. I want to know who believes and who follows. And guess what? I don't worry about pretenders. You know why, Brooks? God will separate the pretenders. God told me to leave the pretenders alone. However, I do want to encourage you, if you are a pretender, I would step into the mercy of God. So you say, well, Pastor Ayers, I go to church every Sunday. I don't want you to get too impressed with that, because I've been pastoring here for a long time, and the devil has perfect attendance here. He shows up every Sunday. He's in the parking lot. He's in our Bible study classrooms. He's up and down the hallways. He's wanting to distract us from who? From Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, Jesus is coming, and He's coming again. And we get this moment that God does pronounce judgment. Part of worship is the pronouncement of judgment. This is a judgment. He is Lord. Now think about that judgment. I mean, we hear that in the church. You all are believers, so you've heard this term. He is
Lord.
Do you really know what that means? Guess what that means? He is Lord. And that means this. There's no other Lord.
Amen.
See, I get tickled at kings and presidents and congresses and parliaments and all the puffed upness about our leaders. Watch this. You know they're not Lord. They carry security. Now, think about this for a minute. Our great leaders can't protect themselves. But Jesus comes without security, because He is God, and He will bring that is just. Now, we got to be careful. You and I are not called to be judges. We are called to be the pronouncement of God's mercy. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How many of you all got that confession in your life? I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I think we need to become more like the Apostle Paul. If you see anything good in me, blame Jesus. If you see anything good in me, blame who? Jesus. I didn't get my goodness from the university. I didn't get my goodness from the books I've read. I got my goodness from the mercy of God. If you see any, thank Jesus. Now that begins to bring us into what? Worship. Worship. Worship who? Jesus. The longer I live, guess who it's about? Jesus. Guess who's there in the end? Jesus. Guess who never leaves? Jesus. And watch this. It's amazing to me. The older I get, the longer I live, the more I see the church. Guess who they get away from? Mm-hmm. It's always about a program. It's always about a study. It's always about another gig. It's about a conference. It's about, y'all know how many trends I've been through in my era of ministry? Now, here's what's so boring. I'm on the second round of the same old trends. I think we're going to stay with Jesus here at Hillview. If you love Jesus, you're going to be in a great place. You'll enjoy Hillview. If you need religion, you're not going to like Hillview because we don't have a lot of it. Because in the final day, it's about who did you have a relationship with? Do you know the Lord? And does the Lord know you? Now, go with me to Revelation. I've been reading through Revelation. I'm not going to start drawing circles and predicting the end of time. So don't panic. I'll leave that to my colleagues who want to be engaged in all of that. Because my job and the job of Hillview Heights Church, we all got different jobs. It's a large kingdom and we all got different jobs. Our job is to make sure people know who? Jesus. This week, we're going to make sure of that. You know what I pray? I pray that every child that can hear the Spirit of God and understand the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ be saved this week. Amen? That they would be saved this week. I hope you'll join me in those prayers. I hope those prayers will take you to come here. If nothing else, you say, you know what? My body's too weak to move a table. Well, come and pray that those who need to be saved will be saved. We got to hold that Spirit. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, can God save an 8-year-old? Absolutely, because I know a terrorist sure can kill one. Had a mother ask me that a few weeks ago. She said, I think my child's too young to be saved. I said, really? I said, a terrorist in Boston didn't think your child was too young to be killed. And she said, Pastor, that's harsh. I said, welcome to the world we really live in and not the one you want to live in. You see, in the midst of death, there is life. His name is Jesus. In the midst of degradation, there is hope. His name is Jesus. In the midst of what looks like it's all over, there is one who is risen that shows up and says, guess what? Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Oh, you ought to be clapping. You and I worship a God that says, not yet. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Oh, I get chills up my spine when I think about this. Soon-to-be Reverend Dr. Reynolds, this is coming one day. I don't know when, but it's coming. Alan, you and I stand before a mighty God one day. We will stand before a mighty God one day. And you know what? I am convinced that will be the moment of true worship. I think here we get some moments, but hey, once again, even at Hillview, I've never been in a moment of absolute worship. How many of y'all have ever been in a moment of absolute worship? I've never been in absolute worship where every eye, every ear, and every tongue was absolutely focused on Jesus. Been in some glimpses. You know, David had some glimpses. But I'm talking that moment where everything is in perfect unity. Pastor Shane, I've never had that happen. I've never preached where everybody was listening. Have you? You know, there's always some sister filing her nails. There's some kid on the, you know, they're Facebooking. There's somebody thinking about how they do it better. Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. The least place I worship is when I'm with a group of preachers. Because none of them can focus on Jesus. Guess what they're focused on? Yeah, they walk in the room and they're wondering who's the best. I'll tell them, Jesus. Jesus can out-preach every one of them. Jesus can out-think every one of them. Jesus can out-sing every one of them. Jesus can out-strategize every one of them. Jesus can out-lead every one of them. You know what? It's not about us. If I got to stop today, that's what I want you to know about worship. It's not about us. And I'm so thankful we've grown up a little bit. Amen. Some of you all are long-term Hillviewers. It's kind of like being in prison and you've done a lot of time. You're long-timers. If y'all remember when we first started worshiping, I had some of the young people say, well, man, what's happening to our church? We're not a worshiping church. I said, really? They said, well, we don't get our hands up and jump around as much. I said, oh, that had nothing to do with worship. We got old. I said, you don't understand. When you were a kid, we were all 20 years younger, and our knees would bounce more for the Lord. But I said, let me tell you what. I believe we worship God more fervently today than we did then. Before, we just made noise. Now we make noise with a purpose. Worship isn't noise, but it does have some noise with purpose. I've been to a lot of events where everybody got hyper and nothing happened. I'd rather see God move than me be recognized. Amen? Amen, Alan? You know how Jesus heals? See, hear, walk. and he walks off. You see, the power of God is in the pronouncement of his word. God didn't have to get a Play-Doh set out to make the world. He just said, let there be light. Amen. And there was. Now, some of y'all going, what about the Big Bang Theory? Let there be light. Bang! I don't know how he put it all together. And if you're impressed, if you think you know how he put it all together, guess what you're going to find out one day? You don't know how he put it all together either. I mean, how stinking arrogant can you be as a human being to think that you can go to a university somewhere and learn more than God? Right there shows that you're an idiot. Do you really think being around an educational institution for 4 years, 8 years, or a lifetime makes you smarter than God? Here's what smart people do. I know there's a God that created and made me, and I understand what I understand, but I know that I don't even know what I don't understand yet, because God is so much bigger than what I can see, what I can hear, what I can interpret, and what I can be, and I'm gonna follow him. Two things worship does. It brings us to the mercy of God. That's the first thing. And it brings us to this. God's bigger than we can imagine. Amen. How many of y'all know God's bigger than we can imagine? Yes. He's bigger than I can imagine. I try to imagine God, and I don't have enough imagination to get that big. God's more merciful than we think he is. I can't wait to see the people that are saved that preachers think aren't saved. Ugh. Here's going to be the disappointing part. And those who thought they were saved that aren't. On this day when God returns, guess what he said? Many will say, Lord, Lord, and he said, don't have your name. I can hear him right now. Well, Lord, I did this and 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 this, and I was a part of this and this and this and this and this, and I read this book and this and this and this. And then they'll give the clinch. I gave poor people some money. That's not salvation. Salvation is Jesus is Lord. The cross is the place of our entrance into worship. The resurrection is the verification that Jesus Christ reigns and God shall not be finished forever and ever. The great prostitute of Babylon in the 18th chapter of Revelation, the metaphor, the symbolic understanding here is there is the great city. And she stands with luxury and opportunity and technology. But she is turned away from God. She believes she can manufacture and conjure up more than God can be. They said there is a final end to the prostitution of human beings. Amen. Jesus returns. Heaven is in all of its glory. And in the 19th chapter of Revelation, John the seer hears this. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven, shouting, shouting, shouting. They weren't quiet. They weren't still. They weren't reserved. They weren't put back. They weren't sitting down in their seats. They weren't thinking about how it affected them. Shouting. Hallelujah. Salvation. Chase, they didn't say theology. They didn't say social justice. They didn't say political theory. They didn't say intellectual prowess. They didn't say medical advancement. They didn't say economic viability. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. You ought to be clapping a little louder than that. That's who they belong to. Now think about it for a minute. What has the world tried to do? Oh, especially today. You don't need God. Government will take care of you. Now, the government can feed you. The government can house you. The government can clothe you. Now you can even get cell phones. But it will not give you salvation. In fact, it will enslave you to your inability. And God will deliver you from your sin. It looks like it has glory. Doesn't it? What do we do in our nation when the president, the one that represents the understanding of God throughout the history of the United States of America, when they show up, what song do we sing? Thank you, sir. What is it? Hail to the chief. Well, guess what will happen on the day of judgment? Hail to the chief. The real chief has showed up. It's what hallelujah means. Hail unto God, the power and glory and salvation forever and ever. Amen. Those aren't church words. Those aren't just worship words. Those are realities given from heaven to earth. Pretty cool, isn't it? He who sits on the throne. Who sits on the throne? You know why Jesus doesn't mess up? We didn't elect him. I get so tired of people complaining about leaders. Some of you all are leaders. I get so tired of people complaining about leaders, especially in the United States. Shouldn't complain about any of them. We elect them. They're a reflection of what we believe. And you see, when you become self-absorbed, you elect self-absorbed. You vote according to your heart instead of God's passion. You vote what you want. How do we end up in sin? Anybody here ever just ended up in sin for a long period of time? How do you do that? Well, since I know how to do it, let me tell you what you do. You just go after what you want. And the more you want, the more you'll want. How many of y'all got that one right there? The more you want, the more you want. I mean, I can go crazy on anything. How many of y'all go crazy on anything? The other night. I mean, just stupid stuff I can go crazy on. Y'all know that white cheddar popcorn? I woke up next morning and I felt real hungover. I said, I know I didn't drink anything. You know what it was? I ate a whole bag of white cheddar popcorn. I put some in there and I said, that tasted good. I put some more in there. I wanted some more. I wanted some more. I wanted some more. And I was sick. I've done stupid stuff where I woke up in the morning and I said, honey, I feel bad. She goes, you ate a whole box of Oreos. You should feel bad. No, hold on. How many of you all want it so much that you think somewhere in it, if you get some more of it, there's going to be a blessing in it? And see, I wish we wanted God that much. I wish we worshiped with such a hunger, and I pray that we will hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what Jesus said, that in worship we would hunger to understand the power, the salvation, and the glory of God so bad that when Keith quit singing, we'd be like, no, don't stop. When worship had to come to a close for the next service, our attitude ought to be, oh, man, not now, and not a finally. Because there's a day we're going to worship God. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Now, you got to decide if you want to believe the Bible or not. You know, I've come to the point in time in my ministry, I'm just tired of fooling with people. I'm tired of hearing all this jazz. I'm tired of hearing all these stupid theories. I'm tired of hearing people that won't be faithful excuse themselves with a bunch of biblical googity gump. You know who's faithful? They're in worship. You know who's faithful? They're learning the Bible. You know who's faithful? You see them in baptistries. Last night, man, I sat there and wept. I saw an extension church and it brought me back a couple of decades. People who were hungry for God. People who were standing up with their hands up in the air. People that expected people to get saved. We stayed there. The service started at 7. We left at 11 because they were still singing songs and people were still getting saved. You know why? Because they believed something. They believed this. They expected the salvation, the glory, and the power of God to move. That's what worship does. Amen. I thank God I get to be a partner with Keith Scarborough. These musicians amaze me. I love especially the young musicians. I love the musicians, man. They'll beat heaven out of the drums. Michael Stratton looks like a big angel with a saxophone stuck in his mouth to the glory of God. And guess what? When I hear Michael and that saxophone, I missed it when the Lord took him down to Florida for a while. You know, when I hear that saxophone, I want to live in the same kind of passion that he plays with. Glory, salvation, and power. Whose are they? They're not ours. But guess what? We receive them from God. Now look what happens. There is a final end. Now I know some, listen, some of y'all are going to be burned because your mind's been plagued by this hippie Jesus stuff. Mercy does not mean that God forgives everything. There is a judgment. If you're going to be unfaithful, if you're going to reject God, if you're going to live your own way, if you're going to become your own God, then you will stand in God's wrath. You need to hear that. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand what I've done. Let me help you. Whatever it is, it's not enough. Only God's mercy. Look, these are great things. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. You know what basically her adulteries were? Please thyself. You want to go to hell? Please thyself. You know how hard that is in the world today? Everything in the world today. Bart, everything in the world today, amen? You're in marketing. Says what? Please thyself. Everything's about what? Me. It's about stimulation, not about glory. Not about power, not about salvation, not about recognizing that there's God. It's about me. Some of my great friends, as we have recovered and you've gone through the 12-step work, oh man, what a gospel. The first thing you got to realize is you can't change it. First step. Third step is it's not about you, and there's someone greater than you that can change where you are. Isn't that the third step? And until you get there, you can't step on. Nick, celebrate with me. Nick, congratulations and glory. Watch this. Salvation, power, and glory belong to our Lord. I saw Nick. Nick's been a buddy for years. He goes, hey, Rev. I said, what, Nick? He said, I'm celebrating 25 years of sobriety. Salvation. Salvation. Glory. And power belong to our Lord. You know what the Lord did to the prostitute? Vanquished her in your life, Nick. And when God tells her that she's dead, guess what? She cannot get up. And some of you may say, well, why is she still roaming right now? That day hadn't come. But there's going to come a day, let me tell you what. There's going to come a day where all these smart alecks and all these who have ridiculed and persecuted the church. And some of you worry me because guess what? You are so self-consumed, you will leave the scripture for what pleases you. Somebody told me it's just this generation. Oh, baloney. It's all generations are corrupt. Not some generations. What do you think? We just started sinning in the last 30 years. You don't think crazy things were going on in the 50s? Yeah. We just didn't have a Facebook to put them on. We had women that gossiped about it back then. But I'm telling you, it comes to destruction. Write this down. Know this. Know this. God will prevail. The great prostitute will be put to death. Amen. And I want to leave you this in worship. She corrupted the world by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of what? His servants. you're going to follow Jesus, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're going to follow Jesus, you will be ridiculed. You will be hated by some. You will be loved by God. And Jeff, you'll have a few brothers and sisters. Amen. But don't expect a multitude to applaud you. Andrew, in your walking out your ministry, don't expect to be recognized. And if you do, don't be surprised when you found out you held hands with a prostitute. It's not about us being recognized. It's about God being glorified. Amen? Now look what he says. They got a lot of hallelujah in there. Hail unto God. God is the one. God is true. God is real. God is forever. Amen? God. And again they shouted what?
Hallelujah.
Hillview, I think we need a little more hallelujah in this house. Hallelujah. God is on the throne. Last night I saw 19 hallelujahs. Some of you say, well, Pastor Ayers, all you care about is getting people saved.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I'm not so sophisticated that I want to make sure. Let me see how weak this other stuff is. You feed a man and they go to hell, what have you prospered? Come on, tell me, what have you prospered? He said, where'd you get that? You ought to go read 1 Corinthians 13. You can participate in all the intellectual maneuvers of the world, but if you have not love, you have gained nothing. Is that true or false? I know people that have millions of dollars and have to wake up every morning with a handful of antidepressants to just deal with their existence. You know why? The older you get, the more you'll realize the great prostitute, she's a whore. And she cannot love. She can present splendor, recognition, titillation, but she cannot love. And she stands judged by the one who is love. He says, forevermore. In her was found the blood of the prophets and God's holy people. Yes, she came after God's holy people. Some of us will die. I promise you, when I'm an old man, my life will be threatened. Because they say, Pastor Ayers, don't talk about the glory of God. We want to talk about the strength of the people. I said, the problem with that is there is none. Some of y'all believe if a majority says it's okay, God changes his mind. One of the most hilarious places I have attended in my life's journey of ministry is the Southern Baptist Convention. It's an absolute comedy show. When I was a young man, they went there and they all hold up these pink cards to take a vote. And I'm like, what's God going to do? Does he get the triune one God stands up there and says, now I must change my word because the Southern Baptist Convention has voted contrary to my principles. Now, God will be God no matter what we say. And to me, that's good news because mercy's in there. God will be God. Even if people say you're out, God will say you're in. When people say it's over for you, God will say not yet. Look at this. God's holy people were in her. But God was above it all. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. If you want to know justice, justice has a name, Jesus. Well, I hear a lot of talk in our world, especially in the last 10 years, about justice. We interpret justice like this. You ready? Not fair, not fair, not fair, not fair, not fair, not fair. Lord have mercy. We've spent trillions of dollars on one thing. Not fair. Let me enlighten you all. Life is not fair. Never was, never will be. God is just. He is merciful, and the more we worship, the more we understand his mercy. The more we worship, we understand that he's bigger than we are. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adultery. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. Now, I have some colleagues that would like to say, well, that's a moment, but then God later on puts everybody in harmony. I do not see that indicated anywhere in the Scripture. Forever and ever in the Scripture, guess what that means, soon to be Reverend Doctor? Forever and ever. It doesn't mean there's a point where love wins. Where love wins. And God says, we're all going to be a great hippie community up here. It doesn't matter what you do or what you say or what it's about. If you thought it was good, it must be good. Uh-uh. God said, there's a moment I put to death that that is death. And the smoke from that will go up forever and ever and ever. Here's the problem with love wins. It's not true. Jesus wins. God is love, not love is God. Little manipulative thing the little evil guy does. Because we interpret love as tolerance. God interprets love as justice, as mercy, as truth. In our love, we will accept what is false. In God's love, He demands what is true. Amen. Worship. Worship brings us to truth. Let me end here with the 24 elders. The 24 elders and the four living creatures, guess what they did? They fell down and worshiped, guess who? God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen. Hallelujah. So I want to leave you with this today. I want to pray in the name of Jesus that you begin to get an amen and hallelujah, type rhythm in your life. You know what amen means? So be it. That God is God. So be it that God is God. You say, well, what will that do? Well, how many of y'all realize anybody can be saved? Amen and hallelujah. Anybody can be saved because God said, so be it. Jesus is the so be it. Jesus is the amen. He is the beginning, He is the end, and He is the amen. Amen, and He's the hallelujah. Do you realize that Jesus is the only one that could worship God adequately? Pretty cool, isn't it, Jack? And what did Jesus spend a lot of times doing? Praying, worshiping, serving, healing, loving God. And you know what? A lot of y'all are in here. Y'all are reflections of an amen, hallelujah, God. How many of y'all need to get a little amen in you? Yeah, so be it. You know what? When I got to do a funeral, I got some amen. You know, I'd be depressed all the time if I didn't believe God saved people. So I got to do funerals all the time. And this would be an awful funeral. Good luck. That's awful. But guess what I can say? Amen. So be it. I know they were in Christ. They confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. All of their sin was forgiven. They've been risen to a new dimension. And I know that they may not be here right now. But oh, in the name of Jesus, I know where they are. I know where they are. I don't know about you, but it excites me. You need to hear a little bit about heaven. I know one day that I'm going to walk up in that great cloud, compliments of the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Bess Jewel's going to be standing in that crowd. My grandma.
Come on.
Amen. She'll be able to hear. She couldn't hear when she was down here. She'll be able to hear. She was crippled up from polio. But her fingers will be straight, and her knees will be straight, and her spirit will be bold, and she will stand in the presence of He who made her. I'll go, Grandmama, thank you for praying. Amen. And hallelujah. When the world puts you down, they're going to put you down. People think I'm crazy. Had a guy look at me and he said, Ayers, how can someone with your intellectual understanding really believe that Jesus, a man, is the Son of God? So my response to that question is, how can a man that has paid as much for education as you have over a lifetime still be so stupid? Dude had two PhDs. And here was his premise. He thought by study he could outshine God. Not many have tried that. Albert Einstein, smart guy, not God. Hawkins is going to find out that he's not as brilliant as he thought he was. Many an atheist are going to find out that the mind was a very limited dimension when they discover that there was a soul. And they understand that mystery was even more brilliant than intellect. Young pastors, never sell your intellect out for his spirit. Ever. For by the Spirit, we're able to say, amen and hallelujah. Now, for those of you that are American Express customers, that will not be enough on the day of judgment for you to hold up your American Express card and say, look, my name's on this, Lord. Because he'll pull out the Lamb's Book of Life and he'll say, but it's not in here. You want your name written down in one place. And it's not in the lights or the stars of Hollywood or even in the great moments of history here on earth. But you want your name written by the one who is true, the one who is just, the one who is the amen, the one who is the hallelujah. And how many of y'all glad to know a lot of y'all got your names written down in heaven right now? Amen. Wow! That ought to blow your mind. How many of y'all glad to know that heaven's a lot better than a government? It never loses your papers. It's quicker than our computer. Jesus, no computer glitches. Why? Who runs heaven? Jesus. Who runs the earth? Jesus. Yeah, he will. Who runs the earth in this moment? A great prostitute. And she will be put to end. Now, does that mean God doesn't love prostitutes? Nope. He forgives prostitutes. But you cannot be forgiven if you're unwilling to be forgiven. Did that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You can't be forgiven if you're unwilling to be forgiven. Some of you may be asking, well, how will I stand poorly in judgment? Here's the way you stand poorly in judgment. Do it your way. Stand before God with your jive, and I guarantee you, you'll find hell. What's this? On the day of judgment, I don't have an excuse. I have a Savior. Because if the angel in charge looked at me and said, heirs, are you guilty? As sin. I'm not even going to make an excuse. You know why I sin? I want to. I used to have these preachers, they said sin wasn't fun. I was like, man, they ought to go to one of my parties. Then I came to the truth. Life's more than fun. And maybe fun itself is the illusion that leads to emptiness. That God is greater than fun. Amen. Hallelujah. So be it. He is our Lord. Amen. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today, this would be a good day to get saved. All I can do is tell you what he said, dude. He said, anybody who believes in me shall not perish. He said, if you ask, he's willing to forgive. But you got to recognize that you're a sinner. He said, well, Pastor Ayers, I'm a pretty good person. I didn't ask you if you're a pretty good person. And by you telling me that you're pretty good, I want you to focus on the part that isn't so good. Every one of us have broken the Ten Commandments. Not some of us, all of us. All of us need the grace of God. Not some of us. Every one of us have sinned. It don't matter what color we are, what gender we are, what political party we adhere to. It doesn't matter what we think. We've all sinned and we need God's mercy in our lives. God's mercy will change you forever and ever. Amen. And hallelujah. So today, you know what I'd do? I'd come kneel right here to this altar and I'd say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Guess what God's going to say? You're forgiven. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Begin to worship. And realize mercy, power, and a God bigger than you can imagine will appear. Who's in charge of all things? Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my life, save me from my sin. I promise you, he'll save you. How many of y'all realize that you've been saved? I mean, and it's just a different life. I live differently. I know. Listen, without Jesus Christ, listen, don't get all guilty and feel bad. Without Jesus Christ, I'm just a big crook. How many of y'all are a big crook without Jesus Christ? How many of you women are just manipulating little nags without Jesus Christ? Some of you are with Jesus Christ, but I mean, how many of you are with, can you imagine? How many of you kids strategize all day long to get what you want out of your parents? See, it's in you. But he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. How many of y'all need to say, Jesus, it's by your mercy I am saved. It is by your mercy I do live. It is by your mercy I will live. Now you understand God. But let's stand together. Y'all been great. This is a form of worship to yield ourselves unto God. We need some prayer help. Prayer is a part of worship. Y'all come pray these children get saved this week. Amen. If you need to be baptized, come forward today and say, you know what, Pastor? We got a bunch of cool pastors over here. Pastor, I have been following the Lord Jesus Christ. I've received Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's time to get obedient. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, they put a drop of water on my head when I was a baby. Hallelujah. But when you was a baby, you didn't know what was going on. You don't want to have an argument with me on that. How many of y'all remember changing your own diapers? Good. Case closed. I think you need a moment. And guess what? I recognize that. I think that's a wonderful thing. You know what your parents did when they had you baptized? They said this, I want my child to know Jesus. You know what you're doing? Later in your adult life, you're saying, you know what? I do know a mom and daddy, and I want to confirm what was given to me, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Let's take care of that. Amen. Let's get obedient. Let's let God reign. Folks, let's come pray that God do more than we can imagine. I'm glad to know the great prostitute, she will be put down one day. Amen? But let me help you. She's still alive right now. And she's working overtime. Because you know what? I think she sniffs that God's close to being finished. Huh? You know what I pray every day? Probably going to sound weird to you. I said, God, can we have one more day so a few more folks can get saved? See, if it was to end today, I got some precious friends that have never given their life to Jesus. It's something along the way will convince them of the amen and the hallelujah. So, man, the altar's open, gang. There's kids today. And I pray they get saved this week in Vacation Bible School. I pray hundreds of them get saved. Y'all think I'm crazy, but that's what I pray. So, Pastor Harris, what will we do with 100? I don't know, but we'll figure it out. You just pray they get saved. Watch this. I trust God with those he saves. Amen. Many of you are saved. Some of you are not. Only you know. Let the Lord Jesus Christ move. Jesus says, you draw us to grace, salvation, understanding, mercy, power, glory, salvation. Lord, I pray that we not be conned by our own understanding of justice. But we hear mercy today. We hear mercy today. We hear healing today. We hear possibility today. We hear obedience today. We hear you today. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Thank you, Lord.